Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Allegedly. It's me, Matthew Cole Weiss.
And I'm Theo Vaughn.
Hi, Theo.
How are you, man?
You're looking very mullety today.
Am I really? I'm coming in hot.
You're coming in hot for Phil Kogan?
Yeah, man. I'm excited. I mean, this dude, the amazing racer, you know, and I've interviewed him before when I worked over at Yahoo.
Oh, yeah? Was he nice?
At the internet. He was nice, man. He's got a lot of information.
Yeah.
So I feel like he's kind of a share bear, you know?
Oh, like Cher?
No.
Oh.
I don't like Cher.
Oh.
But I feel like he's just like a Cher bear, you know? Like he really puts it out there.
Gotcha.
And
I don't know what that means, but okay.
And I'm interested. I'm just interested in some of his practices when he's out there. Because, you know, they're out in some of these other countries.
Theo, what does that mean?
I just mean like, you know, how is he, you know, taking care of himself out there emotionally? How is he feeling, you
know, sensually? I don't think
sensually?
You're asking emotionally.
Sensually, then.
Sensually, okay. So you're going to ask him if he gets off when he's on The Amazing Race?
No.
You're not going to ask him that?
No, I'm okay. Going to ask him, like, you know, first of all, I think there's got to be a lot of women reaching out to him.
I would imagine. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, he's a good-looking guy, and, you know, he's a celebrity, and he kind of, like, represents this world traveler, like, he's almost like that, not the Dos Equis guy. You
like
know?
Carmen like, Sandiego.
Okay. You know what I'm ready to do?
What?
Is you know me. I've made, like, 15... audition tapes for The Amazing Race over the
air.
So I'm using this. Forget the podcast. This is my chance. This is the closest I'm going to get to actually be able to pitch myself to someone really related, have them sit there for 45 minutes to an hour. They can't go anywhere.
Right.
And I'm going to try to get on the show.
Do you think he has any ability to get to you on the show?
Absolutely.
No way.
Really? Oh,
I think so.
I think he's a producer on it now, and I think he probably he's been doing it for like 20 something seasons.
Most of these shows have clauses where if you know someone who works on the show, you actually can't get on. So now that you've done this interview, you're out.
Well, you're about to, dude. You're about to straight up lose the entire chance you have of living out your dream.
That's not true. It's not going to stop me, Ari. It's not going to stop me.
I got kicked off the idiot test because I knew Ben Glebe's manager.
Did you really?
I was on the show. I won. I got $10,000. Then they canceled my episode, didn't pay me. Because they said I know his manager.
Oh,
that's
crazy. They screwed you to save money because everybody knows him. Everybody that goes on there is friends with Ben.
Yeah, but no, that's like the celebrity version. But the regular one, you're not allowed to know him.
Wow.
And I don't think they did it to save money because they had to reshoot a whole episode. They were just worried about it.
Were you pissed?
Yeah, 10 grand.
10
dude.
Grand? Oh, gosh. My God.
Jeez.
Wow. Well, I don't know Phil. I really don't. And so I'm going to pretend like I don't know him every 5 minutes. How's that? Oh, who's this sitting in the gym? Hello.
Let it be interesting, man. I mean, this dude's been out there in the universe. How far do they go on the show?
They stay on Earth.
Yeah. But he's been on Earth.
There you go.
All
right.
Like
we'll come right back with Phil Kogan, host of The Amazing Race.
He's got to be out there chasing leg. Dude, Scandinavia? Where is that? Let's get him in here.
All right. We'll get him in here.
Dude, what do you wear when you cook?
What do I wear when I cook?
Yeah.
Nothing at all.
Oh, no. The answer is Blue Apron, you creep.
Oh, Blue Apron. I like them a lot.
Yeah. I really like them, bro. We just got involved with them. We're happy to have them on board as a sponsor. And the meals are blowing me away, man. I still am full from yesterday.
Well, I'm someone who doesn't cook at all.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how to cook.
Yeah.
And so this kind of, like, gives me the ingredients and shows me how to cook it. And they're good meals because I'm used to eat. I eat Subway. Like every other night.
Oh yeah, you made poor choices, dude.
This is much better quality food than that.
Well, for less than $10 per person per meal, Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. So like if you're thinking, I don't know what to eat, then the answer is Blue Apron, dude.
Why are you so angry about figuring out what to eat?
That's how I feel when I don't know what to eat.
Okay.
I'm just like, I don't know.
Well, as I said, each meal comes with like the step-by-step, very easy, even I can follow it, recipe card with a right amount of food that you're supposed to put in so you can't go over, you can't go under. It's really kind of foolproof to make a great meal. I'm telling you, if I can do it, anybody can do it.
And Blue Apron's freshness guarantee promises that every ingredient in your delivery arrives ready to cook or they'll make it right. So you got to check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/allegedly.
You'll love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. That's blueapron.com/allegedly.
Yep. A-L-L-E-G-E-D-L-Y.
And you know what some of their featured upcoming meals are? Spinach and fresh mozzarella pizza. With olives, bell peppers, and ricotta salata.
Salata.
I know her. She's a drag queen, too. Ricotta salata.
Is she really?
No. Sweet and sour salmon with bok choy, carrot, and ginger fried rice.
Eat that 10 times fast, huh?
Parmesan crusted chicken with creamy fettuccine and roasted broccoli. And and baby broccoli and fontina paninis with hard-boiled egg and arugula salad.
Yep. Cooking together builds strong family bonds. Research shows that Blue Apron families cook nearly 3 times more often.
Really?
That's great, yeah. Because, I mean, look, when it comes to family, man, these days, to me, that's what's most important, honestly, bro.
You're a family man?
Yeah. I'm a family man, like Nicolas Cage. Have you seen it?
I've seen it, but do you have news? Do you have a family that I don't know about?
I don't have a family. And my family is going to eat tonight.
If they go to blueapron.com/allegedly.
Yep. Those who spend a lot at restaurants or at high-end grocery chains can now spend under $10 per person for a delicious meal.
Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
We started, by the way.
I don't know. Have we started?
Might as well.
It's recording.
Okay, yes. Yeah. We started.
I mean, might as well call this a start. And let me just say how impressed I am with what you've done with the play.
You bet.
That's my work.
You really have outdone yourself.
That's my work, and I find that insulting.
Well, but I said I'm impressed with what you've done with the place.
I sense major sarcasm. I had no budget. This is all my own
that's
stuff.
That's where I was about
I'm
to go.
Minimum wage struggling guy.
That's not even red paint. That's blood, actually.
This is called making the most of what you have.
Exactly.
And I love this sort of corrugated fence kind of look that with the sponge on one side, on one wall.
Yep.
Part of a fence. We are underground, I believe, correct?
Yes, so that's the only way we do podcasts is underground. We have to lure our guests underground.
A beautiful 1979 red carpet covering at least one wall with red paint that almost matches around the framed door, the door and the window.
I am accepting donations.
Hold on a second. I got my little MERS right here.
There we go.
He does have a MERS.
I came with a credit card. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, feel to roll it out.
Phil Keoghan saves a podcast studio. I love
imagine the press that'll
that's
get.
One, that's one point for you there.
This is
wait a second.
You started the scoring
I
already.
I thought it.
Phil, this could
I
be
just
a
didn't
new
say
show.
It out loud.
This could be a new show.
This could be a new show, right.
He goes around and saves podcasts.
Phil saves the studio.
You've had some really interesting people come in here.
Yeah, it's been pretty crazy.
Yep. And do you guys get on?
Well, what works about us is that we're
like
so
sexually,
different.
Like sexually, you mean?
I've tried, Phil, but it doesn't work.
He did try.
I was wondering what the cameras were doing here. So,
well, you know, when this isn't used as a podcast studio, it's used for other things, apparently.
Yeah, they used to have abortions right across the hallway.
The red carpet was a dead giveaway.
Yeah. Oh, it used to be white.
Oh, God.
But
anyway, can we introduce who our guest is as we've talked?
I'm Theo Vaughn.
And I'm Matthew Kohlweiss. And that voice.
And I'm Phil Keoghan.
That's the voice of Phil Keoghan, host of The Amazing Race, which comes back on March 30th for the 29th season?
Yeah, 29th season. Now, let's be honest. Have you guys ever seen the show?
Be careful what you say. Not only have I
seen the show?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not only have I never missed an episode of the show.
Oh, you've seen the show?
Oh, I've seen every episode of the show.
All right. What season
I've
did
also,
you start watching?
One. We know Brendan and Rob and Brendan are friends of ours.
I've watched sporadically here and there and made love to a few contestants.
Sorry, Matt, Matt gets a point.
That's fine.
Oh, you've made love to a few?
Yeah.
Satisfied them?
Well,
say hit or miss. I'm not really that good at sex.
Debatable.
But I also want to say we have Ari Manis in studio today too.
I'm right here.
And Ari's just kind of he's just
wannabe interior designer. I understand.
Yes, man of many skills.
Not only have I not missed an episode, but I have probably auditioned or made about 15 videotapes over the years.
That's true.
Well, depending on how this point scoring goes, Matt, maybe you know you'll get another chance.
I think podcasters.
Yeah,
partner podcasters would be great. I actually lumped him into doing an audition video
in
with me
them.
Once.
Biggest Loser ever, dude. That's a crazy thing. You automatically kind of made it on The Biggest Loser. 15 times he auditioned with everyone.
There's really nobody in my life that I haven't dragged into an audition at one point. Like my mother, my friend, my brother. I did a coworker once. Like I'm like, okay, maybe it's me. So I just need to change up somebody else.
Yeah,
it just hasn't worked. I've met Bertram. you know, and I've gone up to him personally and said, oh, I think I would be great. I met Jerry Bruckheimer and I went up to him personally. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
I guess
and you've met me and it's probably not going to work.
Perfect. But I just wanted to bring you guys together today, Phil, because I think it's important that you meet the kind of person who can't get on the show.
I'm really here to sort Matt out, right? And just talk him off the ledge.
Can we get to the bottom of this?
Jesus, yeah. Dude.
What are my issues? You would have a great time on Amazing Race. It's a pretty life-changing experience. So, I mean, of all the reality shows that people want to go on, you don't have to necessarily be good at anything because it's not like you have to be a good singer or a dancer or a designer or
a specific talent.
Have some specific talent. You can just be interesting and get on the show. And I think that's part of what makes the cast so interesting is that we, particularly like with this season where we're bringing in strangers. So you see, if you'd applied for season 29, you could have come and you wouldn't have had to worry about having anybody go with you because you could have just come on and been Matt.
I think I felt sad about losing out on 28 and I just didn't go for 29. Damn.
Yeah. God.
30.
There's some good people on 30. People on 29.
Yeah, this season it's all strangers.
Oh, really?
So they rock up to the start line. They have no idea who anybody is. They don't know their names. They've never even heard each other speak.
Wow.
And they're all standing there. And then I set them a challenge, which gives them a chance to see how they perform under pressure and how they go. And then from there, depending on how well they do on that challenge, it gives them a chance to then pick somebody that they want to go with. But it's really only based on that first challenge and then just looking at the other person that they get a sense of, well, would this person be interesting to race with?
What a cool twist. I thought it was like the producer set up these two. Interesting.
No. We let them do the picking. Smart. But then the better they are in the challenge, the faster they get to do the picking. And so then they line up. And what's interesting is, you know, the show is 21 days. And the first three shows are shot like within 90 hours, right?
I could do it in 15 days.
Yeah. It's
that's how good 20,
21 days for 12 complete episodes. It's insane.
Wow.
So it takes about, in this season, 80 to 90 hours before they get past the, no, you go first. Oh, no. Oh, what's your name? Oh, where did you go to school? Oh, and, you know, all the sort of niceties go out the window after about 80 hours, and then it gets real.
So
and
it's
then,
like a marriage, kind of.
A little bit like a marriage. Think of the 80, 90 hours as sort of the 7 years.
Okay.
Yeah. And then it's kind of like, man.
You got that 90-hour itch.
Yeah, basically. That 90-hour itch. And anybody who's itched for 90 hours knows how distressing that can be.
Oh, Phil? Yeah. I had infection at the top of my ass crack for a while, actually. That is still plaguing me.
Wow.
What country could that be from, Phil?
It sounds somewhere where they've got, like, I don't know, terrible rashes.
Yeah.
How'd you clear that up?
It feels Brazilian because sometimes I kind of itch my bottom of the seat a little.
It could be the Brazilian wax you got back there.
It could be the humidity of the Amazon.
Yeah.
You know, like sort of one of those high humidity itches that you get where all the bacteria grows.
Yeah.
That's it.
How did you get rid of that itch?
Yeah, I don't know. It's here. It's with us.
Oh, it's still with
us. It's here to stay.
It's
all right. Hold on. I'm taking a point off there. Sorry. But
take a point. Just give me directions.
Just the idea that I'm sitting next to you is really making me a little nervous.
Take away a point. Give him some insurance. So
Matt, do
go
you
to
have
clinic.
Any itches?
No, I'm all good.
You're all clear. Okay,
I'm all
good.
Clear for takeoff.
Yeah, he keeps his skin nice and ready for his for his Amazing Race audition.
I do. Well, I wanted to ask. Speaking of, I'm sure you get hit up all the time for people saying like, can you put me on the show, et cetera.
Well, they want to audition for me right there and then. So even like I had an air steward once walk up and he goes, "Hey, watch me. I'm really fit and agile. Watch this." And he takes a tray of drinks. And we're on a 767, and I turn around, he does like a whole loop of the plane and runs right back to the seat again. Goes, what do you think, Phil? What do you think? I'll be good on the race? I've been all around the world. I've traveled all over the place. What do you think? You put me on the show?
Wow, like, that's great. Have people like offered you bribes and stuff to get on, like, or their children or things
never,
like that?
Nothing valuable.
Nothing.
Yeah,
okay.
No children. Certainly no children.
Because I'm offering my firstborn right now.
Is that right?
Yeah.
See,
you
look
can
at
have,
this.
You are desperate.
It's my dream. And the thing is, I've known a lot of people. I used to work at TMZ for many years.
Oh, you did?
And my thing when I was on TMZ was I'm getting a Team TMZ on the Amazing Race. As soon as I leave,
yep,
there's a Team TMZ. Who are they, like, my only two friends from that show?
Is that Kelly and...
Kelly and Siobhan, yeah.
Yeah, remember what happened to them?
Yeah. They lost fast, didn't they?
They did, but it's hard.
They were fun. I think it's a shock for everybody who comes on the show because they just don't realize how difficult it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because, you know, TV compresses everything. It compresses time. It compresses that jet lag. And you don't get a real sense of just how hard it is physically and mentally on people. Mm. And that's why people break down. And so I think a lot of people relate to the show because they love yelling at the screen going, man, those are morons. Don't they know you have to go on this airline and you have to leave? I mean, and we have some fans that know the world and know the world of travel.
Wow.
If we misprint a train departure time out of Zurich and we said like 9:06 and they know that train schedule, they'd be like, Phil, I'm really sorry, but we just want to point out that the train actually leaves at 9:07 and you should really fix that.
Wow.
So, I mean, they notice stuff and
Are there Amazing Race groupies?
Oh yeah, there's Amazing Race groupies. And I seem to get recognized a lot in airports, and for whatever
That's
reason,
hilarious.
If I'm moving quickly through an airport, you know, I get the, hey, Phil, are you going to be last to the mat? Hey, Phil, don't be late. You'll eliminate yourself. And the other day I'm running through the airport. I had a really tight connection. It was a bad weather, so I'm running through the airport. And I remember once somebody said, you know, if you ever get to the point where somebody asks you for your autograph or a photograph, you know, don't be an asshole and
right.
make sure that you stop and give them some time. And, you know, so this family stops me and they go, Phil, can we just get a photograph? We know you're running, but can we just get a photograph? Like, yeah, of course. So I stop and do a quick photograph and they go, thanks, Phil. And I run, and I keep going. And I'm looking at the time and thinking, man, if I don't get there 20 minutes before, they're going to shut the door and I got to go. And so I keep running. I'm getting closer and closer towards my gate. And then another family stops me. Yeah, and the guy starts with, and the wife wasn't there, and the guy starts with, you know, my wife, it's always, the guy always says,
yeah.
My wife watches the show all the time and would really love a photograph. I go, oh, okay, should I take it with the kids? And he goes, well, I'll get in it as well. And then we have to find someone. So I'm running, and I'm almost at the gate. And then another woman stops me, and she goes, Phil, can we get a photograph? And I go, she didn't say Phil. She said, can we get a photograph? And I said, yeah, sure. So I just instinctively put my arm around her and she looks at me like, who are you? She was just asking me to take a photograph of her and her family.
Oh, that's brilliant.
I didn't know who the hell I was. And I put my arm around her and she looks at me like I'm, you know, really strange. I'm like, I'm so sorry. Are you famous? Do I know you?
Yeah, what do I do here?
Am I meant to know you?
You made the plane though.
Yeah.
Okay.
No. The other one is that sometimes they'll confuse me with Jeff Probst. I don't know how, but they'll confuse me and they go, you're the guy,
or Steve
right?
Harvey.
Yeah, we're Steve Harvey, exactly.
I don't think
they go, like, you're the guy, right? You're the guy. And I go, yeah, I guess so. I'm the guy. And they go, you are, right? And I go, the tribe has spoken. And they go, yeah, that's the guy.
That's
you are
great.
The guy.
I think that is kind of like a comedy. You could pretty much pretend to be any game show or any host.
Steve Harvey. I'm going to try. I haven't tried that before, but I'm going to try Steve Harvey now.
There you go.
I'm going to bet your flight is now leaving at 5:15. Sorry. 5:45. I'm going to be like doing like false statements around the airport.
Yeah, I love it.
Are you going to be like, supermarket sweep? You remember that game?
Supermarket sweepstakes.
Wow.
Yes. My name is Steve Harvey. Coming to you live.
Steve
just
Harvey.
Got a little predatory.
I think I just got like, one of those Fox movies.
One man.
Yeah, you became the trailer guy.
One woman. And an island.
What?
No, that's Survivor.
I have no idea where
good.
I just went.
That is good.
That's pretty good.
That is good.
You've got another career coming.
Yeah. Steve Harvey.
God, my voice is so sore right now.
Steve Harvey's from Gotham City, apparently.
Yeah.
So what about this? So I got to ask. So a lot of, I've met a few cast members from Amazing Race over the years and made some love to a couple of them, you know.
That's what you keep saying.
Nothing special.
What was his name, Theo?
Well, my question is... And who knows if one of them might have been a young fellow with long hair. You know?
I have a thing for that, obviously.
Well, who knows, you know, if he conditions himself well, you know.
Okay, so
what's
your question?
What I'm asking is this. You've had to have some stalkers that have come, some female stalkers for sure, over the years that have, you know, tracked you down. Or
I would imagine. I mean, you're a happily married man, correct?
I think I'm happy. Why? Unless you're telling me something I don't know.
You're a happy married man.
You're not happy, and you're not married. I'm not?
You're a married man.
Yes, I am, and I'm happy.
And you're happy.
Yes.
But I'm sure there are women who have like Amazing Race or a host fetishes or whatnot.
Is this get part of some fantasy of yours, or is that your...
Well, whatever's going to get me on the show,
yeah,
Phil.
Yeah, whatever. Okay.
If I'm sitting in America watching, I'm a fan of the show, mm-hmm. and I'm a fan of Phil's. I could see me seeing you as almost like a James Bond type of guy that's going to take me around the world or have
like
these
fantasies.
Like a
Daniel Craig?
Ooh. Yes, like a Daniel Craig. So yeah. I just wonder, to some women,
wow, that would be good.
You have to be that. do you get those type of women that...
I guess I don't. I mean, they're not throwing themselves at me.
Right.
I mean, look, there's so many good-looking guys out there for people to throw themselves at. I don't know. I might be a little further down on the list than you think. I don't know.
So maybe, they're not, when you're running through the airport, they're not throwing their underwear at that.
No. I haven't had the, like, you know, like they did with Tom Jones back in the day.
Yes.
You guys probably don't even know who
Tom Jones is.
I know.
You know Tom Jones? You're too
the coach
young.
Of the Cowboys? No.
What's new, Pussycat?
Jerry Jones.
What's new, Pussycat?
What's in the Cowboys?
So Jerry. Tom Jones is like a famous Welsh singer.
Oh, the Welsh.
Yeah, and he... and famous for his fans throwing their underwear at him.
He's a lady.
And an unusually large bulge in his pants. Ooh. We're not really sure whether that came
from
throwing an Italian pair of socks in there, or whether that's really, you know, like, is it enhanced or is it real? We don't know.
We don't know.
We don't look either.
That's true.
The women look.
So here's my question. Do you think you have the best job in town?
I think I've got a pretty good job.
Because I when I look at people in this town working in this industry, and I go, you're like, yeah, you're on the show, but not like huge. It's not all about you. You
right.
get to go to exotic vacations, and
yep.
I'm very curious what you do when you're not like even on camera at the host. Like, do you just drink margaritas and get to hang around and explore?
Well, that's a good question.
Ergo, that to me equates the best job.
Well,
and you're getting paid for it.
Here's the thing. It's the toughest job that I've ever had. But it's the job that I have loved more than any other job. So you have 12 shows, 21 days, less than 48 hours to shoot an entire show from beginning to end. And then I have to go everywhere that they go. So I physically have to travel to every place they go.
Right.
And then I have to be at the mat before the first team. And then I have to wait till the last team.
Mm.
And then sometimes we've had it where the first team is leaving on the next leg. I'm still waiting for the last one. And then I have to get past that first team, ahead of them at the next challenge, and keep trying to stay slightly ahead of them. And then it's just like this domino thing all the way for 21 days.
Wow.
For instance, in this season, we started the show in the morning. Go time was after lunch. We caught a flight. In the afternoon, we flew to
first class. Right, you're flying
well,
first class.
Here's this. That's another question that I get from a lot of people.
Well, I'm curious.
Well, we take about 30 flights on the season,
uh-huh.
and a lot of those flights are on airlines that you have never heard of and that you do not want to
really?
Fly, and yeah. that don't offer. Like the people, like, you must have millions of miles. Yes, I do have millions of miles, but I have hundreds of thousands of miles on airlines that I really just wish I hadn't flown hundreds of thousands of miles on. There's nothing like getting on a plane, say, in South America, and as you're getting on the plane, you notice that the skin of the plane has a lot of rivets.
Yeah.
And I wish I hadn't asked a pilot next to me once, like, sir, why are there so many rivets on the plane? Well, young man... That's because
wait, Steve Harvey was there?
Yeah, Steve Harvey was sitting right next to me.
Wow.
Steve Harvey knows everything.
Okay.
Well, young man, that's because this plane is old. And it's not the plane it used to be. And so what they do is they take like sheets to protect the skin of the plane and they just rivet the new ones over.
Wow.
So then you end up with kind of like an old plane.
Right. Yeah.
That's a new plane on the outside, but still old
still
on the inside.
Old plane.
And then
oh,
you go
yeah,
to
like
pull
a lot
your
of these
tray
ladies
down.
In Beverly Hills. Yeah.
Then you go to pull your tray down, and then it says Eastern Airlines. Now, I know enough that Eastern Airlines went out of business in the 80s.
Yeah.
So then you're thinking, okay, how long did it fly with Eastern before it ended up on this airline, and now we're flying it where? And then you
okay.
just like hold on, you know, like this. But anyway, to the point, there are seasons where, and this happened this season, where you will shoot all day, you'll fly through the night. You get up in a new country. You shoot all day. You go to the pit stop. You wait for the first team, the last team. The front end of the show is much crazier than the back end because you've yeah. got less teams. And the races are better at the end than
yeah.
they are at the beginning. So especially if there's like a self drive or something like that, and there's right. a lot of teams, forget about it. The schedule gets thrown out the window. So you shoot all day. Then you get on a plane that night as early as you can, and you fly all night. Then you get up and you land in another country and you shoot all day, mm-hmm. and then you try to get the flight that night. So you might go 7 days of shooting all day, flying all night, not getting to a hotel, like to an actual bed, and by the time you get through that week, you're exhausted. You've lost maybe 10 pounds. Mm. And then you hope that with less teams, the teams are better. They're a little more manageable, meaning they're right. less likely to get
right.
lost.
Right.
And then as you get towards the end, it's like as you get towards show 9, 10, it's like mile 18 on a marathon. And then you just got to hold on to get right. to the end. And everybody, I mean, the production, the people that work on this show, the attrition rate over the years has been high because it's incredibly tough on
Damn.
People, but it's a real exciting adventure. Yeah. But people are just when you get to the end, you are so mentally and physically spent
yeah.
that you're just like. But again, going back to your point, I still see it as the best.
And it's
job
21 out. Days yeah. in a year, or
and
maybe
are people 20. Dying?
I mean, that's pretty good.
Is anybody dying on the show or during?
Do people dying?
No, we haven't had like Amazing Race death show. No,
I think we would have known about that.
Yeah, no,
you don't know.
Yeah. There's right. There
but,
could be.
But who knew he was making love to ex contestants? I mean,
oh, I knew. I
we're
figured.
Learning all kinds of new things here today.
I mean, look, it wasn't good love. Okay?
I got to tell you, the thing I worry about the most on the show, out of everything, is I just people go, oh, they do crazy things, and you know, you risk life and limb and all the rest of it. They don't really risk life and limb, even when we get them to do bungee jumping yeah. and everything. That's all safety, you know, checks yeah. safety wise. The thing I worry about the most is when they get in like some rogue cab in some foreign land where the guy is driving up a road the wrong way or yeah. forgets to get gas right. or he's trying to take shortcuts or you know. That's to me where it's the show is the riskiest is just self-driving or being in somebody else's car.
Do you feel like you would be a good contestant on your show?
Probably not.
Do you feel like there is a game show out there or a unscripted show that you would be a good contestant on?
Ooh.
If I had my fitness up, I you know probably could tackle something like I mean, I'd love to try something like Ninja Warrior. You know, like at a time when I was, I did this ride across America. I rode a bike across America. Then I rode a bike around France, 150 miles a day for 22 days, and I'd never been so fit in all my life. You
wow.
know, I was at my peak.
Oh yeah.
One day was 23 and a half hours of riding, you know, so it was like a crazy endurance feat. That was probably when I'd been the fittest. I would have loved to have maybe tried something like Ninja War, and I love working out. I do 100 push-ups a day. I've done 100 push-ups a day for 10 years and so yeah, probably something like that. I think race is a lot tougher than people realize, and that's why I'm not just like saying I think I would be good at it, because there's a lot of luck that comes into play,
mm-hmm.
right. A lot of luck and circumstances, and you know, one bad cab ride and your race yeah. is over. You choose the wrong flight, it's over.
Eat a bad snack, maybe.
Bad snack, yeah. You know, I think being on Amazing Race and having some kind of dysentery problem, which you know, some teams have
I've
had
seen
before,
it happen. Yeah,
two races you're on.
Yeah, that's too yeah, racing out, racing both ends, and it's
that's true.
Yeah.
So is there camaraderie? I know you auditioned for Survivor initially, correct?
Yes.
Is there camaraderie around with you and Jeff and Julie Chan or whatever the hosts, the CBS hopes, or is it competition?
Well, no, I feel a camaraderie with them, A, because we're on the same network and we've all been really lucky to have had long-standing jobs, and so that you know, and I my history with Jeff goes right back to 1994 when we both worked at FX when FX first launched in New York City.
Mm. If you, Jeff, Julie Chen were on Amazing Race,
well, okay,
who would
that,
do
that
best?
Sounds like a nightmare. Right there.
But who do you think would do best?
That's a good question.
That is a good question.
On Amazing Race,
yeah,
wow. Well, we're all well traveled.
Mm-hmm.
We're all pretty media savvy. See, I think we'd be all the three of us would be boring to watch.
I think Julie was. She's used to some high standards.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if she
could go to India and slum it.
I'm making assumptions because I don't know that much about Julie to know that she's not somebody who I just can't imagine it. But maybe, you know, like going camping and I don't know. I mean, outdoor showers and you know, like those bags that you put on the ground to let the sun heat them up for a shower. I'm not sure if she's even
right,
but I don't know.
You don't know.
She could be surprising. I don't know.
Who knows?
My assumption is that she probably, again, assumption is that she probably prefers luxury.
Yes.
Yeah. I would.
Yeah, she looks luxurious.
Yes, she is, and she's.
I would say that
she's married.
And she always looks so good. I think, you know, being on Amazing Race is, if ever you were going to choose a show where the host looks as bad as they can look, mm-hmm. put them on Amazing Race. Because, you know, we don't have a makeup artist I don't have a makeup artist or a wardrobe person. You're not sleeping. And in general, I lose between 10 and 12 pounds. Ooh. So I look terrible.
That's another upside to getting on the race.
Well, you know, like a diet plan.
Amazing Race diet.
Are you looking to lose some weight?
Absolutely.
He's looking to do everything he does.
but I think it really... The cruel part of television is I started in front of a camera at 19. I was 19 years old.
Just a couple years ago.
I was like way less defined.
Yeah.
And TV had no definition. It was like standard definition, 525 lines. Now I'm working in an era where I've got way more definition. And you know what's really weird is when you see yourself like from 30 years ago, and I look back, you know, when I was 19 years old, I'm looking, I'm going, man, I look good.
Yeah.
Compared to how I look now.
I think you look pretty decent still, Phil, from my perspective.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Thank you.
I feel like you're a handsome man. I feel like you could be kind of like Chris Hardwick's brother a little bit.
Really?
I think you guys are kind of similar. I got to say, so what about, I'm trying to think of someone who would be least likely to win the Amazing Race. Has a cigarette smoker ever won the Amazing Race?
We've had cigarette smokers on the race. I could not tell you if we've ever had anybody go across the line who smoked. What's interesting is we've had professional athletes, a number of them. Only one team of professional athletes has ever won. So it's not sort of like, oh, if you're a professional athlete and you're super fit and strong, that's a prerequisite. So we've had extraordinary people win the race. And yeah, I don't know. I mean, we all try to like wager some money on it and we never pick it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So do you actually put money like
just
behind
a dollar,
the scenes? Yeah, just a dollar.
I mean, I don't
have
know.
Have you ever won?
I don't know if that's going to get us into trouble. Like, no. Les is going to be like, I need you guys to stop gambling.
I've got
gambling problems on this show.
Have you ever won?
Never won.
Never won. Wow.
And nobody that I've ever played with has ever picked 1, 2, 3.
Have you picked a winner for this one?
In 29 seasons.
Oh, you know. Duh. Wow.
In 29 seasons, none of us have ever picked a winner. We all suck.
So you
and
were
I
wrong
think that's
about
why
this
the
season.
Show. Yeah, way wrong. And and here's the thing. That's why to me the show worked.
Why? I'm curious. This is a 2-part question. The first part is how come they've never done like a I know like Big Brother Celebrity UK does really well. How come there's never been a celebrity like Amazing Race? And my second question would be if there was, who would you like to see on it?
Well, I think it goes back to what you said before, which is. You know, what celebrity is going to put up with this crazy schedule?
There's got to be.
Yeah, well, there's some busted celebrities in the heartbeat.
I mean,
we've had half of them on this show.
Can you imagine? I just look. You guys have interviewed enough people to know.
Yeah, you're right.
There are some high maintenance people.
Yeah,
and that's not a criticism as much as it's just. A reality of who they are and how they operate.
Right.
And these are successful people, so I'm certainly not knocking it. I'm just
it.
Saying that the way they operate is they have a routine. They get their facials on Friday at 5 o'clock and they drink certain water and they work with the same makeup artist and they have a routine.
Yeah, they eat cans of baby fat and all kinds of stuff like
that. They have,
I don't know about baby fat.
They have like their
probably.
Whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so
they're not
if you
like
suddenly
animals.
Say to them, hey, I'm sorry, you have to leave your assistant and your makeup person and your hair person and you're going to be run ragged. You may not get to, you know, you may be running for 48 hours straight and be sweaty and be wearing the same clothes. I just think there's some people that might shy away from that. Now, that said, I do think there are some people out there who would suck it up and who would be really good. I would love to see, I know Neil Patrick Harris, I've spoken to him. I think he's still a fan of race, but I've spoken to him before about the race. I know he's a fan. Mm-hmm. I've heard Drew Barrymore talk about being a fan of the show. I think, and I think if I'm not mistaken, Sarah Jessica Parker has talked about being a show. I know Julia Louise Dreyfus, and she is
perfect.
And she is, I mean, she would be amazing.
Yeah.
And I think she's somebody who would just suck it up and just get out there and go do it. I'd love, I mean, any one of those. And yeah, it'd be, I just wonder, like, just the logistics of trying to bring those people together, get their schedules sorted out for them to go.
Yeah, right. So, but it would be like,
can you imagine? I'm sorry, I gotta just head back. I've got some pickup scenes to do for
I've got
Beep.
An email I have to.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry, I gotta.
I'd love to, the whole Kardashian family, throw them on.
Oh, yeah. And throw them off.
Oh, just so I can watch them flounder.
Wow, look at you.
That would be fun.
You love that stuff.
Maybe, yeah.
I don't.
What about Kanye? You want to see Kanye on there?
Oh, yeah. That'd be great. Because these people, exactly, they couldn't cut it. I don't think they would cut it.
I think they would be, I think a lot of them would be shocked.
Yeah.
Because the number one thing I hear from even ordinary people, so-called ordinary people that come on the show, the number one thing I hear is, oh man, we had no idea it was this hard.
Yeah.
I think it's a little bit like when we watch the NFL and we see really good players playing against other really good players. It's hard for us as mere mortals to kind of register when you see somebody get their head knocked off in the NFL, just how good that person is in the first place, and they're being, you know, dominated by another player.
How, like, real that is.
The elite of the elite. We're watching them and we just don't relate because we can't understand.
I don't watch football. Can you put it in musical terms for me, perhaps?
Sure. What's your favorite musical?
Oh, there's just
Would
so
you
many.
Like Hamilton? I mean, should...
I'm just fucking with
you. The Sound of Music. It's like the Sharks.
Ooh,
and
Bette
the
Midler?
Jets.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Now, what about this, though? Do you feel like, is it, if a... Has the Amazing Race ever cost a couple or helped contribute to a couple's demise, like a married couple?
Probably, yeah.
And not contribute negatively, but just that was the environment that made them realize they weren't for
strangely,
each other.
Strangely, a lot of couples have wanted to come on the race because they've wanted to, what they call, test their relationship, which I think is a poor choice in terms of a relationship therapy.
Yeah, that's probably...
I think it'd be like the worst thing to do.
Yeah.
Because you're it's like this heightened stress, and like you could not throw more stress at that relationship. Is it really where you want to test that relationship?
Yeah, go through a drive-thru or something at rush hour.
Like,
you know?
Tara and Will in season two, I mean, that's kind of, they were already separated. They came back and wanted to see if they, and that didn't work out too well because then Tara ended up liking Alex. And so, I think on the whole, good. If the relationships are good when they go, when they come in, the relationships are good when they go out. You know, you look at Dave and Rachel and Uchenna and Joyce, and so look, our show. I think one of the great things about it is that it is, for the most part, it's you know, what we are looking to do is accentuate what is right, and we're about like celebrating all the good things and fun and humor. And like, if you think of the cheese challenge that we had in Amazing Race in Switzerland, where the balls of cheese were rolling down the hill, those big 50 pound balls of cheese, like, or when you see Charla and Mirna, Charla was the little person who was carrying the meat that was bigger than her.
Yeah, I know her personally. Yeah, I know both of those girls.
They're awesome.
Cousins, I think.
Just great TV, and she's carrying a piece of meat that's bigger than her down the street.
Or
and,
when the chick got the watermelon in her face.
That was scary.
That, like, I can imagine.
Because, we plan things out. You know, we did so much work that goes into planning everything out, and that we just never saw happening.
Yeah.
And that became viral. Like, I think it went to 1 million views in 24 hours or some back in the day when that was a.
When Melon was hot.
Melon
was king.
It's interesting.
Oh, wow.
That was good.
Late point. Have you guys ever had any, like, accused criminals, convicted felons, any gangbangers on there?
We try to avoid that. You know, we do like some background checks on people.
Yeah.
Because it feels out.
There'd be nothing worse than there'd be nothing worse than you're in Namibia up a sand dune and then you find out that it's just you and this former criminal. Be like, wow, I think I gotta get out of here.
I think you might have something. Criminal Amazing Race, that could be a whole new season, just all criminals.
The amazing could call it the amazing escape race.
There you go.
Beautiful.
Wait, we got to let him go eventually, but I have three rapid fire questions I want to ask you that I just thought of. One, would you let your daughter do The Amazing Race? Or would you support your daughter doing The Amazing Race?
If she wanted to do it, I'm a big believer that my daughter should make her own choices in life.
Would you help her cheat?
Never.
Okay. Would you help anybody cheat? Is there
never?
No. Okay. Yeah. As a cyclist, how do you deal with chafing?
Chafing with chamois cream.
Oh.
So there's
I know her. She's a drag queen in West Hollywood.
Is she really?
Chamois queen.
She applies herself everywhere. She gets around. So when you first start cycling, if you don't know this, they're inside. If you really ride a lot, you want to get a pair of cycling shorts that have what they call a chamois inside the shorts that cover the nether regions and vital parts.
He's using
of your
his
body.
Hands. I like this.
Yeah. Well, that comes to where you apply the cream.
You're friends with the ShamWow guy. He
I
should
am,
invest in that and do ShamWowies.
Oh, that wouldn't be bad.
Then you can clean
idea.
Up afterwards. So
it's true.
So then after you get the chamois and you go, oh, wow, that feels so much better. Then if you really start riding, you can still get chafing because you're riding so much. And then someone introduces you to chamois cream.
Mm. Ooh.
So then they have these amazing chamois creams with great names like DZ Nuts. It's a professional cyclist. They have Butt Butter.
Ooh.
Yeah. They got all this
we
different,
call that something different.
Yes. Yeah.
In the chamois.
Astroglide? Yeah, probably.
Yeah, what do you
anyway,
guys call it?
Anyway, so then when you first start using the cream, you do like a little tentative dip and you just put a little on your finger and then you kind of apply it on because you're a little tentative. You're like, really? I have to put this all around? Okay. And then by the time you realize how effective this amazing cream is to stop chafing, you reach into that chamois container and
there,
scoop
Phil.
It up like you get in there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you get in there and you go to town and you slap that stuff on like there's no tomorrow. And like have any of you ever changed the diaper on a baby?
No.
Okay. You're in for a treat. It's like when you first change your child's diaper. At the beginning, you're meant to put a cream on them, you know, at the end, so that just like a waterproof thing to stop rashes and that sort of thing. In the beginning, you're kind of like very, you know, like very delicate. You do it all like you're following a guideline in a book or something. And then after a while, you just like grab that stuff, slap it all over there, and you put it on.
Just dip them in it.
Yeah, you're doing changes like you're at NASCAR and you're like changing the tire on a car.
Like
so
a
anyway,
pit stop.
That stops the chafing.
Okay, I have
good
one
for Amazing Race, by the way, because they get this thing
inside.
A lot of the crew will get what they call gorilla butt.
Oh yeah, no, that's
which
what
is
I
a
had.
Little bit like
what's
what you
that?
Had on
that's
the
what
back.
I brought
of,
into the studio today.
That's
what?
That thing you said is
a
the
rash?
Top of your crack.
Yeah,
yeah.
What like a heat rash?
Just well, from being fancy, I think.
Okay, so here's what happens: heat in the nether regions. Okay, so you imagine you're in a really hot environment.
Oh, Belize.
There you go. Oh, Belize. So imagine you're in a
bitch, Belize.
Yeah,
and,
Belize.
And it's super hot and it's really, really, you know, humid.
And there's music.
And there's music playing. And Steve Harvey is there. No. Okay, so there's music playing. And no, but anyway, so it's so humid and you've been in your clothes all day. Well, what happens is your skin gets raw.
Yeah.
And then you it gets itchy, then people start scratching, and then they get what you've got.
Yeah.
And then it just can get worse and worse and worse and worse. Right. And so a lot of the crew, use a thing, I think it's called dry balls. I think it's called dry balls.
I think I want that.
Hold on, I got to look that up.
I just want to clip that sentence out that you just said.
I think it's called
dry balls.
I think it's called dry balls.
Yeah, I think it could be, man. I mean, you know, depending
next
on where
time,
you live.
Hey, listen, order some of that stuff and see how you go. But anyway, it's good for hot, humid environments.
All right, we each get one more question before we, if you have one.
Okay. And so if you're out there for, you know, maybe a month at a time, you're out on the road, do you get involved in any, like, how do you relieve yourself in the evenings if you're feeling kind of some kind of sexual energy?
You're talking about, you know, masturbating?
I mean, if you do it, I don't do it anymore right now. You know, I'm off.
Why is
of
that?
It. Just taking a break, dude, because I really.
You went
I've
to town?
It, I've just done it for long enough.
He needs some chamois cream.
Yeah.
Listen, I am. Because
you got to get lonesome out there.
You get lonesome.
And you're in Honduras or you're maybe in, you know, Guadalajara.
Guadalajara?
Is that a combination of Guatemala and Guadalajara?
Places, you know, I just want to know, how do you feel better?
I'm sorry. The lotion is called Fresh Balls Lotion. It's keeping your balls dry. Ask men. Fresh Balls Lotion. There's the. This look, this is what you need to stop your gorilla butt.
Ooh.
See that?
I like that can it comes into, a little tube.
You can get it in a tube or you can get it in a...
I'll take the can, Phil.
It says, keep your balls dry, ask men, and then it says, so fresh. Mm.
Huh. So dry. so fresh. So dry.
Getting back to your question...
Well, America wants to know because there are some. I'll say this:
I really don't think America wants to know. I think you want to know, and it concerns me.
No,
it
Phil.
Concerns Phil. Me that you want to know.
Well, I'll say this: at the start of some races,
well, it's a kind of. Now that I think about it, it's kind of a question. You're out there for 21 days. My immediately thought was like, ooh, what's the coolest city that he's masturbated in? You know, like, I don't know. You get to go to all these cool places.
I have a list.
But that's probably...
Let me get that list out. I've knocked out 100.
But I'll say this then. All right, okay. So say if you're not practicing the masturbation or the dark arts.
And you have maybe you have a crazy dream.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Have you had a crazy dream like that in another country?
You're asking, okay, let me get this straight. You're saying, as a virile man, have you ever had a crazy dream about the opposite sex or the sex you're attracted to?
Yeah.
Sure. Of course.
In another country, though?
What? I travel all the time. What do you think happens? Like,
you only dream in America.
Mr. Kogan, I'm sorry, you're leaving the border. Once you leave this country, do not dream, think, or touch yourself. And when you urinate, make sure you do not shake more than 3 times. Yes, sir. I understand. Sign here, please.
But is there a country that seems to really bring it out of you more than others?
Oh, my God. Your fascination.
He's fascinated.
Well, I just want to know. I've never been in your shoes. You know, I want to know what it's like out there if I'm traveling the world and I'm Phil and my...
But you don't need to worry. You will travel the world and you will still feel your desires.
Yeah.
You'll be fine. Okay. You'll be fine. Just clear up the rash before you go. You're going to love it in Italy. It's a very romantic place.
There you go. Ooh. You got your
Venice. You're going to get, you know.
The canals.
Nice romantic restaurants, you know.
That leads to my last question, which is I've always wanted to know, as someone who's traveled very much, what's the one place you will never go back to again?
Let me just give you another point there, Matt, for asking a sensible question. And I'm going to take off a point there from Theo for asking about choking the chicken. All right. Look, I didn't have a great time in Madagascar.
Really?
Yeah, I saw the animated
movie. It's not
movie.
Like that?
It wasn't like the movie.
Oh.
I went to a meat market.
Yeah.
I've been to those.
Yeah.
But not in Madagascar.
I saw things that I wish I hadn't seen in the market. They're not worth repeating, but I was not there for that long, so it's unfair of me to cast it's not like I think, oh, I want to go back there.
Yeah.
For the most part, I actually really do think, oh man, I'd love to come back here with some more time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I do love that, before I started working on race, I'd worked in 60 countries, and now I'm like at about 120, I think, and I do love that there are still a number of countries that I haven't been to, and I still want to go to.
Cool. Yeah. All right. Well, now we each have 30 seconds to pitch our final plea.
Oh.
Do
you want a points total, by the way?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, I'm sorry, but Theo, you have only 1 point.
All I need is one, Phil.
And Matt, you have 3.
All right, that's 2 more.
Matt cheats and caters to people's political sensibilities.
There was no
that
political.
Could be true. Thank you. Actually, that was well said, Theo. I'm going to give you a point.
Wow! So it really does come into play.
No. That was a good. Come on, you got to admit that was good.
That's why I like him sometimes.
All right,
he does say some interesting things.
Let's get 30 seconds on the clock over here for Dirty Matt.
For me. First or you?
Yeah. And Massachusetts is this country you don't want to go to anymore?
Yeah, Massachusetts. Yeah, that country.
I feel you there.
Yeah, you know where that is? It's just a little east and west of here. East of here.
Okay, who's going first? You or me?
You can go first.
Okay.
You got 30 seconds.
You got it?
And yep.
All right. Well, fuck the podcast. I'm using my 30 seconds to pitch myself for The Amazing Race. Not only just pitch myself for The Amazing Race, but I think Theo and I really would be good because you've got a straight Southern Protestant. You've got a Jewish gay guy from New England, well, from Philly, and we couldn't be more different, but we are also best friends. And I think that's it would be an interesting dynamic to see us. And successful podcasters. One of us is very handsome.
Dancer. I can dance though.
Thanks for chiming in here. So I really think that this is the way to go.
Time's up, you creep.
All
right.
He just said nice things about you, by the way.
Yeah. But I knew. I heard all the subtext.
But you called him a creep.
Because I know the subtext. I know
I'm taking
brainy
a point
up
right there.
All I right, only need one point.
All right, hit it.
All right, and go. All right. Amazing race. How sweet.
Can we stop the clock early?
Please. Please.
Dad, hold on. That's just the intro. Cedary. Like.
All right. You got your time. I can't take any more.
I was alone, but now I'm found.
Wow.
Phil, come back to Madagascar. That's what they say in the streets.
You know, they could use that for their tourism video. That would really help. Amazing place.
I think that it probably is. But I appreciate...
They'll be coming back in droves.
Well, he's got to pick a winner. He's got to pick a winner.
Matt is a clear winner today. Theo, I think you're both as a team. You're an awesome team. Matt is definitely a clear winner today. Theo...
I'm sorry, Theo.
I'm sorry.
He's
Theo.
Not sorry.
However, I do think that we should get you hooked up with some fresh bulls.
Okay. Maybe a woman.
I'm talking about the cream.
Hey, me too.
For your rash.
Hey, we can hook me up with some fresh balls too.
Yeah, yeah, probably.
You've had enough fresh balls around you, brother. You seek some out on the internet.
Oh, stop that.
Phil, every shape and size, I'm sure.
What can we expect of the new season right before you go, man?
Okay, 22 complete strangers lining up at the starting line. March 30th, Thursday, 10 o'clock.
Yeah, and different time slot for you, later time slot.
So we're coming off Big Bang at 8 o'clock, and hopefully we hold everybody all the way through to 10 o'clock, and they get hooked into this new season. There's a bit of a honeymoon period out of the gate with these teams as they get to know each other because they literally have not met before, and they go on a 21-day adventure around the world, traveling to, 10 countries and I don't know how many cities and traveling like over 35,000 miles, and then there is a winner and it's a good finish. And we'd love to see you there.
Awesome. So everybody watch on
March 30th
at 10 p.m. a Thursday.
Yes.
Everybody see the premiere of the season 29 of The Amazing Race. Thank you, Phil, coming in.
Thank you.
Can
so
I
much.
Mention one thing before
yeah.
I leave?
Yeah, of course.
I'm going on a film tour with a film that I made to go out and see Amazing Race fans and also share the film.
Wow.
And we're going to 12 cities around the country. And that'll be starting at the end of the month in Palm Springs on March 31st and then all the way through April.
Wow. Is this La Ride?
It's La Ride. It's 4K, first documentary ever shot with a 4K camera.
Wow.
And up on the big screen. And
it's you, it's follows you doing the Tour de France.
It follows me retracing the 1928 Tour de France. But I'm meeting up with a lot of amazing racers along the way. So Dave and Connor, who won season 25, I'm going to be meeting up with them in Salt Lake City. I was with in Austin at South by Southwest.
Oh,
we
yes.
just played the film there, and Bernie and Ashley came along to that screening. So
nice.
Yeah, we'll be going all around the country. I'd love you guys to come see. It's going to be playing in Los Angeles at LA Live on April 20th.
I'll be there.
April 20th.
I'll be there.
All right. See you. And all the money is going to charity.
Perfect.
We're working with Regal Cinemas, and they kindly agreed to give
all the
money.
All
the box office away. So
wow, that's rare in this town.
I can go to that, man.
Which is cool, right?
That's really cool.
Yeah, it's exciting. Well,
all right, so check out La Ride. Yeah,
so
is there a website?
12 cities.
Yeah, just PhilCoganLaRide.com, and I'll be tweeting about it.
And perfect. It starts in Palm Springs on the 31st.
Palm Springs, yep.
Talk about dry balls.
I know, huh?
That's the American Documentary Film Festival, and La Ride is the opening film.
Very cool.
Congrats,
well, that's
man.
An
that's
achievement
awesome.
In itself. Congratulations.
Yeah. Yeah. Sounds like all the things you love the most are coming together.
Yeah.
Thank goodness. Yeah. Even hooking up with you guys.
Yeah. Well, you'll be thinking about it later, but not the type of dreams he's thinking.
Yeah,
he talks
I mean,
about.
That got kind of weird, right?
Did it really? I don't know. When I'm in Vermont, dude, I feel friction.
Rock hard?
Oh.
Like a Vermont pine?
Oh, dude, yeah.
Oh, God.
It's like it's sap season, you know?
All right.
Oh, boy.
Thank
Jesus.
You so much, Phil. Thank you, Theo.
And don't forget, always wear your fresh balls.
Ha ha ha.